We're in Pensacola, Florida, where it is pouring rain outside.
Oh, man. That's not nice Florida weather.
It's okay. It's I mean, we were suffering through this insane, insanely freezing cold winter, which I'm sure you have a piece of that.
Oh, yeah. This is Matt from the Matt Squared Radio Hour on CKLU 96.7 FM, your campus and community station in Sudbury, Ontario. I'm on the line with John Linnell, one of the original duo from the long-standing They Might Be Giants, calling from Pensacola, Florida. How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing well. As I explained to you before, it's pouring rain here, but we're perfectly happy to be down in the south where it's a lot warmer than it was up in New York.
Yeah, up here my driveway is currently full of frozen slush that I can't move, so I guess rain would be vastly preferable to that.
Yes.
So you guys have just put out your most recent album, I Like Fun, since I last spoke with Mr. Flansburgh nearly 5 years ago when I interviewed him. You've put out 5 studio albums. Is there anything that has led to your like increased output?
I don't know that it's increased. I think we're just continuing to do the same amount of songwriting and recording that we've done historically, as far as I know. I mean, I haven't checked the stats, but it feels like we're just working as hard as we ever used to. And in fact, there have been occasions where we've put out an album more quickly on the heels of writing it, than this one. I think the thing I like about I Like Fun is that we spent a long time writing and collecting material, which it occurred to us, I think, that the best, you know, this sort of makes perfect sense. The best stuff that we've done is where we've taken our time and come up with a lot of material to choose from. And in this case, I think we had about 30 songs ahead of time to choose the ones that are on I Like Fun.
So about 50% then.
Something like that.
Yeah. I guess the larger part of that output would be the Dial-A-Song in 2015, which yielded 3 albums. What made you guys decide to bring Dial-A-Song back in 2015 and then again this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I regret that we ever stopped doing it. But we stopped doing it because initially the technology became sort of prohibitively complicated and error prone. We're using mechanical answering machines back in the 80s, and at a certain point ran out of functioning machines. And I think in the early 90s, we tried to switch over to a computer based system, and the available technology was not really up to scratch at that point. We were looking for something that would just run by itself while we were away. You know, we could be off on tour and the machine would be able to answer the phone and play songs. And it did a terrible job. I don't know how old you are, but some people will recall that computers in the early 90s crashed quite a lot.
Yeah.
Personal computers were not really that reliable in that way, and they you know, you could restart them yourself, but if there was no person in attendance, then the crashed computer would just remain crashed. So that was the problem. Then we kind of just forgot about Dial-A-Song for about 10 years and started thinking about it again once the 21st century rolled around and the internet played a significant role in that, I think, because, it was sort of like the rest of the world caught up with Dial-A-Song. Obviously, people like the idea of buying and listening to music from the comfort of their home, which, you know, was what we were kind of, mm-hmm. you know, our original impetus for Dial-A-Song was, what if people don't want to go out to a record store, you know, can't they just pick up the phone? And we, you know, couldn't have really imagine then that the phone became what it is now, but it turns out that everybody uses their phone for everything.
For absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And you guys had a bit of a jump start on with the podcast as well. That's kind of the same idea, you know, direct distribution, except that one was of course free. And then of course Long Tall Weekend being the first online exclusive album ever, according to most sources.
We like
that
to
talk
say
about
that. I don't know if that's verifiable, but it's definitely up there.
The internet historians for like, you know, late 90s, early 2000s aren't quite as robust as they would be now.
Right.
So you said in a couple of previous interviews, your lyrics on this album are affected by current events in a general way, but aren't specifically topical. Do you consciously decouple from current events to more keep it, everything more timeless, or do you just like to?
I wish we could decouple from current events. That's a beautiful idea. unfortunately, no. I think we feel sort of like we're wishing we could not think about the state of the world, and then, you know, feeling, you know, sort of oppressed by stuff that's going on. And eventually, in some ways, that probably finds its way into what we're doing, even though we're not specifically trying to write political songs. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that we've probably said this in the past, that the album The Else was written at the moment where we were immersed in the Gulf War, mm-hmm. in the second Gulf War, and you know, we were just feeling very cynical about where our country was headed and so on. And so some of that is reflected on some of the songs on The Else. And I don't think there's anything very specific about this new album that reflects the current state of the world, but it is probably just a general reflection of, you know, feeling a bit cynical about things and gloomy. It's always good fodder for songwriting, you know, feeling depressed and anxious is you probably think of more song ideas than if you're feeling happy and content.
Yeah, of course. Sometimes it does make it a little harder to actually get the writing done, but nonetheless, the sentiment is there.
I just made a mess. I don't know how I did, but now the whole place is a wreck.
So how would you say it is very different writing the process of writing children's songs for, let's say, the album Why or any of your albums with Disney?
Oh, you know, it's not as different as you might think. We tend to try and just let our imaginations loose in both cases. And in the case of the children's material, you know, there's less death and depression, you know, obviously I have to rein in some of the darker sentiments, but you know, I think we feel like kids deserve the same level of, you know, creativity from us. So we try and make it as good as we possibly can.
Have you ever considered writing like an album with a full theme again, like the Disney albums?
Well, those were very much, mandated by the Disney Corporation. So, no, I mean, we haven't really taken it upon ourselves to come up with themes. I think John and I really prefer this mode we have of just writing a lot of songs and then picking out the good ones or the ones that go together and making albums out of those.
Because, of course, that'd be a lot more restrictive if you're sticking to a theme like history or something.
Yeah, it's not. I don't mind restrictions. I think actually they're a good idea. But I like where the lack of a topic restriction takes us when we're just writing songs for adults. I think it still seems very fruitful.
So the band's social media feeds seem to be mostly Flansburgh run. Do you just not like to do that kind of interaction online, or is it just more something that he really likes doing?
Well, he doesn't like to interact, I should point out. He likes to send out messages, and I think he's not particularly excited about
The responses?
The advertised promise of social media, which is that you get to have a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
I think he doesn't do it personally. He doesn't have a personal Facebook account,
mm-hmm.
and neither do I. But it is something that's really useful and necessary for advertising and spreading the word about shows and all of that. So I see it as very much of a practical tool.
So it's more like sending out missives than it is necessarily interacting directly.
Correct.
Yeah. What lyrical themes do you find most attractive in your writing? Where do you draw inspiration?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I wish there were an answer to that. But we've never really come up with a good formula. I think we just wander around in our imaginations and come up with stuff. And I think maybe it would feel a little bit like, too forced if we had specific themes that we felt like we had to go back to,
Yeah, of course.
I don't know. I mean, I, like I said, I like the way we've been working a lot. I like the idea where you don't really have you have to confront the blank page in all its terrifying emptiness and just come up with something. And it is, in fact, a lot easier to write a whole album's worth of songs about the alphabet, because you know exactly what you're supposed to do, and it makes it simpler. But then there's less magic in a way, and just knowing exactly what you're supposed to do. I think we always felt like with this project that it was, for us, the great value of it was that we didn't know or decide what it was supposed to be. We didn't have a definition of They Might Be Giants. We just thought it could be anything. But it would be something that we liked.
Do you say that you guys both have a very like exploratory idea? Like you kind of just search around and see what kind of comes out of it?
I think that's the way it has to work. I can sense maybe, or one can sense when somebody is doing work where they haven't got a good idea and they're just, having to pull one, from a list or they're staring at something in front of them or they're reading the newspaper and writing songs
mm-hmm.
based on newspaper articles or something. I think that can get a little bit tiresome once you sense that that's what the person is doing.
Do you have like single interpretations in mind when you actually get a song down out on the page? Because I know fans generally like to, overanalyze everything that you guys will put out and try to dissect different things.
I like that people think about them. I don't really have interpretations in mind. I like to have a sort of open-ended relationship with the song. Although I think that the job is you have an idea in mind and you want to get it across, right? But that's the thing you want, that everything you're trying to get across to be it right there in the song, and that it not be some hidden thing. But really the job is just to say what you mean, I think. And then the stuff you've left out is intentionally left out because there isn't some secret behind the scenes meaning to it. That's our sort of approach. There are songs obviously where you find out, like with 25 or 6-4 by Chicago, you find out that it has an actual secret subject that for some reason they are coyly withholding from the listener. That's fine, but that's not what we do.
Your right arm to go back to when you had a right arm. You'll need some muscles to move it backward, push back the hands in time.
Like a lot of the songs will be from the perspective of a narrator that really isn't yourself, whether it be based on certain details, and then sometimes they'll go places, like they'll follow some manner of theme anyway, go towards death or loss or anything like that. Do they come mostly from a personal place, even if it's not necessarily you speaking in the song?
Well, I suppose. I mean, I think everything has a personal, you know, there's a personal quality to it. I think that we are doing stuff that's recognizably us. You know, when you hear our music and the lyrics, you can say that this sounds like us. You know, but it's not personal in the sense of being, you know, in any way autobiographical,
yeah,
or about things that have happened to us, you know, during, you know, in that day or anything like that.
Is songwriting different when you're keeping your band, like your larger band, in mind, now that they're more in the studios and in the case of some of the children's albums also writing?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I suppose it is. I don't know. I probably, you know, I think maybe with the arrangements in particular,
mm-hmm,
not so much with the lyrics or the melodies, but with the way that we arrange the music, we think ahead of time, oh, this is a good one for Danny and Marty to, you know, work out on or something like that. But it's, you know, I mean, as you can hear on the new album, it's just as often that we are thinking, oh, this will be a good one for the drum machine, or this will be good for just a bunch of acoustic instruments without not employing the standard rock band setup.
Mm-hmm.
But we work with these really versatile people too, so that helps.
Because this is probably like one of the longest stretches of time that you've had like this consistent of a backing band, like I guess as long as Marty Beller's been there. Which is how many,
yes,
like a good chunk of years,
right,
now.
It's getting on to going on two decades. Well, he worked with us when we had our old drummer. He came in and worked with us,
mm-hmm,
in the early aughts. I think we had planned a show in the summer of 2001, possibly. I can't remember. But
would have been just before Mink Car then?
Although, Mink Car was featured Dan Hickey,
mm-hmm,
but on the drums. But we had the other two guys playing with us in way back in the 20th century. These guys have really dedicated a big chunk of their lives to working with us, which we're very grateful for. We were very happy to have these guys, and we're on tour with them right now. They're people that we'd like to hang out with as much as we like to play music with them.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, following that track, like, what's the biggest influence of working with a producer slash engineer for as long as you guys have been with Pat Dillett? Is he on the new one?
Well, he is, and I suppose, you know, he's maybe kind of an unsung, you know, He's a very important part of our process. And as you point out, we've actually worked with Pat since
like
Flood.
Like Apollo 18?
Since Flood. He was an assistant engineer on Flood. He's somebody who's, we even then we were sort of sensing like he had something really useful to contribute, and he has just only grown in his importance to us since then. Pat is terrific.
Would you guys ever consider working with an outside producer again, like the Dust Brothers on the Else?
Oh, sure, yeah. I think we'd like to do more of that. We just have to find that the right time and the right person, but that's absolutely something that we enjoyed, and not only the Dust Brothers, but Adam Schlesinger and particularly Clive Langer and Ellen Stanley, I think were very very satisfying. That was a very satisfying collaboration for us.
Yeah, and I just remember just when the Else originally came out, it just sounded a lot. I think it's probably one of the biggest like jumps sound-wise, probably since John Henry, and that was of course when the full band started out, right? And that was a good 13 years.
I guess it wouldn't be for me today. I love the Else, but I don't have a clear idea of how dramatically different it sounded from what came before.
Do you think there's somebody out there?
Have you guys ever considered doing like an album that was like just you, just the Johns, just like the small thing in a drum machine, seeing like if you can work with that setup again, or is it pretty embedded now?
I don't know. I don't know why we do that. We could, but it seems like we have these incredibly great resources all around us.
Of course,
it's maybe too tempting to not have the guys who can actually play drums, everything involved. We've certainly done a lot of material where it's very stripped down. Like a lot of the actually there's some of the tracks that are coming out that are just they're very polished versions of the demos that didn't involve I'm trying to think. There's at least one track that doesn't have there's a new track that's come out on Dialstone called Dog, and all it is just me and some unconventionally tuned keyboard instruments, and that's it.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to listen to that one yet. So you guys put out your Dialstone on Tuesday, but our show's on a Monday, so I'll be playing it on the show tomorrow.
Good, okay. Well, it's got a piano that's tuned to microtonal intervals, and it includes a melodica that's also similarly microtuned. And then the vocal, and I think that's pretty much it. That's all there is on the track.
Nice. And I was also thinking like songs like Black Ops, which are just, you know, vocal and like pretty much one instrument throughout. So you do still have some of the stripped down tracks in there for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's the kind of dog who, when presented with his heart's desire, will turn his nose away.
So how has the experience of running something as large scale as the Instant Fan Club been for you as a band? I think this is the fourth or fifth one now that's running.
It's essential to the... It's a lot of work for us because we're doing a lot of special material for the people who subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that's kind of the idea. They're paying a premium to get exclusive stuff and personal things. And so we have to work harder, but it's... monetarily, it's keeping us afloat. So we very, very into it as a kind of a way forward for us. You know, it's very, very hard to make a living selling records nowadays. We do that, but we don't make a fortune off the CDs or the downloads. So
you've got a dedicated fan base.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're just taking advantage of that situation. We very much appreciate the interest in it that we get.
Have you ever had a look at the They Might Be Giants wiki at any point?
I have, yeah. Well, there's an enormously useful part of it, which is it lists all the songs the shows we've ever done. It's a comprehensive, although not, I think, entirely accurate, but very useful listing of past tours.
Mm-hmm. The more recent, the more likely it is to be useful
for us to refer to. Mm-hmm. That we can go back and look at the shows we've already done in particular towns, and even look at the set list and things like that. And it's been really, really useful, especially as our memories begin to fail as we get older. It's just a wonderful resource.
Is it a little weird to have like the minutiae of all the unreleased work, like kind of seen, poured over, and archived?
It's fine. I have no problem with it.
Because I know it does lead to people asking you about old demos that you didn't want to release and didn't put out in any form other than Dial a Song. I know.
I say have at it. You know, that's totally fine. They're welcome to say what they want to say. on the site. I mean, I'm just there to try and remind myself where we, when we last played in whatever town we happen to be in. That's
of course
the real value for me.
So one thing that actually came up with a bunch of Wiki members recently is someone had some like really decently recorded old dial-a-song recordings, like recorded with one of those phone microphones with a suction cup on it. And one thing that people did notice is that there are a lot of different lyrics on these on the dial-a-song versions of the tracks.
Yes, indeed.
Like, how often do the lyrics change? Like frequently within like the process of writing an album.
It absolutely happens. We are listening while we're working, and we're reflecting what we're doing, and we think maybe this could be improved in some way, or maybe this idea isn't clear enough, or maybe this idea isn't good enough. You know, I mean that's part of the process.
It's kind
Listen,
of.
I'm gonna have to run.
Yeah, I figured
it's
as much.
Speaking with you. And we're very much looking forward to getting up to your neck of the woods one of these days.
Canada's hard to tour in, though, eh?
Plan at the moment, so we'll be working on that. But I hope everybody will come find us on tour at some point.
Well, the closest show to us is Rochester, New York, April 19th at Anthology for $30, part of the major U.S. tour
there
already in progress.
Very good.
The new record, I Like Fun, has hit distributors and platforms world and internet-wide. You can also check out the new output from the weekly at dialasong.com or right here on the Matt Squared Radio Hour. Thank you for joining us, John.
Thank you for having me. I'll look forward to seeing you up there someday.
Of course.
Excellent. All right. Thanks again.
Yeah, have a good rest of your interview day.
I shall. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye. Myself to draw in the dust with water.